your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Excited to be joined today with two amazing guests, Erica Pittman, Chief Marketing Officer at Biola, and Nicole Cosby, Chief Data and Compliance Officer at Philo. Guys, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for having us.
Absolutely, Nicole. I get to basically see you every day, but really awesome to have you on the show with me. You know, I was excited to talk to you guys both just because, one, all three of us really go back all the way to the late 90s, right before all of this, you know, digital and internet craze happened. But you guys actually worked together back in the day at Vanguard Media. Funny enough, how we're all now in the cannabis space today, right? So I thought, you know, that was, for one, very fun. But, you know, to kick off the show, Erica, you know, obviously being the Chief Marketing Officer at Biola, it'd be great to kind of update our listeners on what you guys have been up to. And Nicole, same with you as well. So Erica, we'll start with you.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, Nicole and I go way back. We're old school friends and colleagues. So it's exciting to be on your show with a good friend and longtime colleague. This is exciting. And then I think ironically enough for us to kind of be coming full circle and working in similar spaces again is always a nice moment in time. I'm excited to be a part of the cannabis community. You know, the green rush has been burgeoning for the last decade or so, but I think it's becoming more commonplace and more of a household topic of discussion. And being a part of a brand like Biola is super exciting. Just considering all of the purpose-driven work that Al has done to date and all the exciting things we have coming down the pike. So I'm eagerly looking forward to making Biola a household name.
Absolutely. You know, Nicole, you know, you're coming on the heels of many years over at Publicis, you know, running media and standards and partnerships and all that fun stuff. And now you are Chief Data and Compliance Officer for Philo. You know, it'd be great just to do a quick intro on you.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that my journey has led me to Philo. But when you think about it and all the skills and all the experiences, I'm leveraging everything I've learned over the years in this role. So it was just all kind of serendipitous. A lawyer by trade and through a lot of work on the legal side as related to media and formerly entertainment, as Erica knows, just years of being in the early developments of the quote unquote internet that kind of led as a springboard for me to work with actual tech companies such as AOL and others. And that also propelled me into Publicis, where I just focused largely on the advertising side, of course, with one of the largest global advertising holding companies. And it was through those relationships that I was able to meet Chad Bronstein, our CEO and the original founding team, and saw an opportunity in the market that even the largest ad agencies and ad tech companies were leaving untapped. And that was the cannabis industry. No one was servicing them. No one knew how to speak to them. No one knew how to market them. You know, prior to seeing an emergence of execs with backgrounds such as Erica stepping into C-suites at a lot of these companies, a lot of the original C-suite folks at these brands were growers and weren't prepared to go over the business finish line and push the brands forward. So it's a fascinating time, and I'm excited that Philo is here to have partnerships and relationships and engagements with brands like Biola, but also service an industry that I still think is nascent and burgeoning.
Absolutely. I think, you know, you just bring up a very good point. I think, you know, for one, Nicole and Erica, you're both Black female C-suite executives today. And, you know, we do know that representation is continuing to grow both in the space, especially in the cannabis world, but also outside of the cannabis world. And I think, you know, it'd be really great for you guys to each talk about your experience both, you know, during your career, the focus and the importance of diversity, and especially, you know, how we could encourage that across all spaces.
Let Erica jump in.
I mean, I think we're just in a really unique time and space, I think, in the world right now at large, right? Like 2020 has been quite the whirlwind in terms of recalibration There have been a lot of adjustments and changes. And I often say it is out of devastation that evolution occurs. And I think that we are in an evolution period in culture, and in cannabis is certainly analogous to that, just in terms of all of the different things that have been happening around social equity and cannabis usage, particularly in the States, but I think at large globally. And so I think in kind, it is equally right that the conversation around, you know, inclusion and diversity and social equity is becoming a hot topic across the board. And so I'm excited personally to be one of the pioneers that are helping to lead the charge to be more inclusive and think more intentionally about people of color and particularly African Americans in the space, and how we can leverage true economic access for Black people, considering Black people have been disadvantaged for at least half a century or more as a result of cannabis-related convictions and arrests.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Erica, that's a great point, and something that I think when I was talking to Al on the last show, you know, that's really kind of what's rooted in the purpose of Viola, right? I mean, you guys are all about, you know, your commitment to giving back to the communities who were affected by the war on drugs. And so I think everything that you guys have been doing and then catapulted to everything that's happened this year, it's more important than ever to make sure that, you know, more and more companies start thinking about that from a diversity perspective and, you know, incorporating that into the fabric of their culture, right?
Absolutely. I think, you know, there's what I experienced back in November when I was sort of courting Viola before I officially came on board. I was shocked to attend MJ BizCon, which is an annual conference that happens around the country focusing on cannabis related business opportunities. And I was shocked at the disproportionate amount of white representation versus Black representation in the
culture. Me too.
Startling, right? I was just like, what is happening here? And I thought it was even more interesting twofold. One of the things that Al pointed out to me is that when he first started attending MJ BizCon, there were maybe 1,000 people in attendance. When I attended last year, there were 40,000 people there. It was massive, right? So the expansion within the culture has grown exponentially, but unfortunately, the representation has not been commensurate. And then the third thing I think I noticed from that conference was the amount of dialogue people were having around this notion of social equity, but a real void in actionable next steps to creating solutions for equitable opportunities for people of color. And so as I started to think about Viola and my role and the ethos of the purpose-driven work that Al is so passionate about, one of the things that I made a pivotal point in how we market the brand and socialize the brand needed to be rooted around real solutions to help create equity for Black people in cannabis.
Absolutely. I too was shocked. That was my first time attending MJ Biz. And when I went as a member of the Philo team, and I got to say, it was interesting because I started to think about it after I left Las Vegas. So one, yes, just disproportionate amount of, or lack thereof, of Black folks as well as people of color in representational roles or even in attendance, literally. But then it also led me to think about access and resources and knowledge about the cannabis business. So people of color have most definitely been disproportionately impacted by the negative, by the laws and the heavy-handed arrests, et cetera, as it relates to quote unquote marijuana. But now as the business emerging, cultivation, processing, dispensaries, licenses, the resources and the information or access to information to obtain a foothold into the business space of cannabis has been sorely limited. So seeing that there are folks I know that you and I both know who have tried to set up small businesses or burgeoning businesses or do their own grow or, you know, create culinary experiences or anything of that sort on a local level, oftentimes have not had access to or insight into where they should be in terms of looking for funding or investing or conferences or other service resources that could help them grow their business. Huge gap there as well. One thing that always attracted me about Viola was that you guys, your mission statement is about the purpose of promoting social equity. Like, that's your mission statement, not, you know, aside from the fact that you're creating quality products and goods and services, like, your mission statement is social, to promote social equity.
Yep. One flower at a time, one community at a time.
Love it.
It's part of our DNA. And, you know, and so for me, one of the things, Nikki, that I identified, well, twofold. So it was important for me to sort of compartmentalize what our focus was. And the way I articulated it is, it's a plant purpose and people conversation for us. So the plant is first and foremost. I think that the plant is the thing that unites this culture and brings people together. Al often says that he's made friends with people that he otherwise would not have known over a conversation or an experience through cannabis. So plant-based communication is very, very important for us. We're a legacy brand. Viola's been around for over 9 years. We operate in 4 states vertically. We are one of, if not the largest African-American multi-state operations in the country. And I don't know that a lot of people are aware of his legacy in the culture and his hands-on approach to really learning the business from the ground up and growing it to the magnitude of what it is. So the plant story is important for us. And then the purpose-driven work, I think, is the biggest part. And there are some key focuses in that area. And for us, that's about education. So dialogue that we're having today, giving people access to information to figure out where and how to learn about the business in a very dynamic way, because legislation is really evolving on an everyday basis. So really giving people access to information, but then also creating a talent pool of qualified American candidates to become employees within the cannabis culture. I think we do a lot of talking around social equity where, you know, you can start a grow or start a dispensary or, you know, start a processing center. But what if you could just work at the cannabis company and be proficient in the culture of cannabis? And so we're developing educational tools to help to qualify people to be able to do that. So there's education, there's entrepreneurship. And so teaching people how to run a business effectively, because even if you understand the culture of cannabis, do you know how to effectively be a profitable company? So creating opportunities for that level of expertise. And then there's this expungement conversation, which I'm super passionate about. And I'm looking forward to digging my teeth into that, because there are still some states on the books that are now legally legislated, even if it's just medicinally, and people still have felony convictions in their records for cannabis drugs. And it is beyond the scope of comprehension why there are individuals that can make millions, if not billions of dollars off of this culture, yet an individual that was in prison previously cannot get a job because of a felony charge. It's just not fair. Like, you need to expunge people at this point. It's ridiculous. You can't give them that time back. You can at least give them their record back. And then the last piece is incubation. And that's really supporting those true, authentic social equity opportunities of people that do have licenses or are awarded licenses, and they're not being railroaded out by these bigger businesses who are, you know, coming in and making false claims about coming in to support and grow your business for 49%, but then ultimately looking to buy that person out to acquire those licenses, because that's some of the nefarious business that is starting to happen within the social equity space. So we've got a lot of work to do, and we're very, very excited about digging into purpose. And the last piece I'll say is people. People's the third part of our big focus, and that's just the lifestyle and the culture beyond cannabis. And so what are some of those things that resonate intrinsically with cannabis culture, like music, like fashion, like creativity? And so identifying in those spaces some unique partnerships. So we're excited.
That's awesome. I mean, I think you hit on a key one that, you know, people get caught in the swirl or the label of social equity and what that means, and, you know, community give back, et cetera. And then, you know, you look at a lot of these large companies and, you know, well, what is your employee makeup? You know, what is your C-suite makeup? You know, what does your team look like? What does your board look like? You know, are you bringing people into the fold, just like you said, to really understand this business, to understand the scope of this business, to provide them with access and visibility and support. I mean, it's exciting to see right now, actually, some other companies out there who are standing up on their own, you know, friends of ours, you know, who are creating their own companies and launching their own thing. I think that's fantastic. But I also, we're still like missing in the scope and the new boardrooms of a lot of these large behemoth companies. So that access to hiring is most definitely important go forward. It's exciting, everything that you guys are doing at Viola. It really is. And also too, I know that you guys are in four markets right now. I know you're moving into other states with expansion, and you're going to be opening new retail locations in LA.
We are looking to open our social equity retail location here in LA. We have two social equity license awardees that we are currently working with local California legislation to get all of the permitting to launch those dispensaries. But we do have the real estate. We're just waiting on permitting and authorization from the city to be able to start to forward those businesses. But yeah, they will be vital. So we're excited.
That's exciting. That's awesome.
And guys, I think, you know, just along the, you know, an additional line of diversity, I think another important focus too, obviously, is female empowerment, right? You know, you guys both serve in executive roles. And I think you guys also are, you know, you guys are part of a lot of organizations, you know, outside the workplace, you know, National Association of Professional Women, Advertising Women, Women in Entertainment, you know, and I think just as an additional focus on diversity, it'd be helpful for you guys to maybe talk a little bit about also your personal commitment to making sure that you're also empowering other female executives.
Just as we were saying when we first began, I had no idea I would be in this industry or this space. Some of the organizations that I'm still a part of actually don't touch cannabis at all or have any kind of representation from anybody in the cannabis space. So instead of kind of leaving those organizations that I work with like by the wayside, I think it's important to now bring this representation or this lens into those organizations, especially those where there are mentorship opportunities to show it. And I'm thinking from my hat, organizations that I've been involved with that are legal based, working with lawyers of color to help show other paths, other career paths, other opportunities, other possibilities in how to spin your education, your experience, your knowledge base, and leverage it in this way in the cannabis space, which I think is chock full of opportunities.
Nicole, you nailed it. You nailed it on the head. I was going to say the exact same thing. So twofold. People often ask me, how do we diversify companies? And I say, you diversify your C-suite. The reality is this, you know, people engage and employ people like them a lot more than women, right? Like in previous years, men call their colleagues and counterparts, hey, do you know a good vice president of marketing? Do you know a good general counsel? Yeah, Bob's a great general counsel. He works over at Kraft. He can come right over. He works over at P&G. He'd be great. He's looking for a new opportunity. And so people tend to recommend their warm network. And so the key is to be intentional and premeditated about diversifying your leadership pool. And what will naturally and organically happen is you will have a warm network affinity that people will start to recommend other people that are of similar backgrounds, of similar work experiences, and it will start to diversify on its own. But also to that end, I think to what Nikki was saying is if we start to engage other industries with that have qualified talent and engage them about the opportunity of cannabis because it's such a burgeoning culture, people start to think about it in a different way. Just because if you don't necessarily have cannabis historic experience, it doesn't mean that your experience is not palatable. Like I've never sold cannabis in my entire life. However, cannabis is very similar to spirits. Very, very similar. We're going through a prohibition right now. We just went through a prohibition 88.
Exactly.
Same thing. And Nicole knows this better than anyone on this phone. This country's legal system is based on precedents, right? We use precedents to create new law. So if you think about what this country has been able to do with prohibition around spirits, I would gather that it's not going to be dissimilar for cannabis. And so what I'm experiencing now is these very nuanced interstate compliance regulation that will ultimately ladder up to federal legislation. And I'm able to apply a decade of experience with spirits to cannabis. And I would never imagine in a million years that they would be so similar. And I suspect there are a lot of other nuances of other business industries that will play into how cannabis is run as an effective business.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like it was a nice natural progression for you too, right? Going from the wine and spirit industry straight into cannabis, right? Kind of knowing all of those nuances and all of the, you know, difficult compliance regulations and hoops that you're going to have to jump through. So maybe it was really training for you what you're doing now, Erica. Cool. Well, I just had one quick question just as far as, Viola. And, like I said, we had Al on, who's fantastic and really great to have him on the show. But I'm just curious, you're running marketing over there. And, are you guys doing anything as far as, Al's status of being like an ex-NBA player? Like, are you leveraging any of that celebrity influence in your marketing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that celebrity influence will continue to play a tremendous role for the brand. I think cannabis connoisseurs are particularly important as the industry continues to evolve. We are in this unique inflection point of this cannabis connoisseur audience and then a canna curious audience, right? Like if you think about it, 11 states in the country to date, I could be very wrong. I haven't checked today because I'm sure legislation changes by the hour. But I believe there's 11 states that are adult use regulated, but there are 33 states that are medicinal use regulated. So what that means is there are three times the amount of states that actually allow for people to engage cannabis from a medical standpoint, but only 11 states in total that are adult usage. And that number is going to continue to evolve and grow and expand. And once the industry becomes legalized, there will be a whole crop and community of consumers that will be considering cannabis for the first time. So there'll be an increasing opportunity for canna curious people to engage cannabis experts to understand a little bit more about what, when, why, and how. So for us, having the influencer community, not necessarily just celebrities, athletes, or, luminary archetypes, but actually people that have historic experience in the cannabis culture will be important to help to invite a new crop of consumers into the conversation in a way that makes them feel safe and makes it feel authentic to them.
Absolutely. And I think, Nicole and I see this every day because we work with so many different cannabis companies, but as we see more and more states come on board, most recently Michigan, it's crazy where you would never in a million years think that you'd have all of these canna curious people. But now that Michigan is rising into a pretty huge state from a cannabis consumption perspective, more and more people are starting to say, hey, this is very interesting, where they might never have tried it before ever. And we're seeing that across the board as more and more states, start adopting this. So it's great to see and exciting.
We're into is actually pushing the hand. I think it was yesterday morning, the governor of Pennsylvania, Governor Wolf, made a statement very clear and blunt that they are considering speeding up regulation approval for recreational marijuana in the state of Pennsylvania because COVID has ravaged their budgets. And so they are looking to fill their state coffers with revenue that they anticipate tax revenue from sale of recreational marijuana. And when you just sit and think about it for a minute, aside from all of the underlying the social equity side, the hypocrisy, but then just the sheer business just gravitas, it's very eye-opening. And I think we were already, as Erica mentioned, on a clear path toward growth in this industry with at least, a good 20 additional states with some form of legislation towards cannabis legalization, whether it be medical or rec on their books. But now a lot of this is getting sped up. I mean, Virginia went legal with medical marijuana July 1st, and this was not anticipated, but COVID. So here we are. It has become a financial boon, but this has to then make a pathway, and folks need to make sure that the pathway is not sitting with a revenue kind of block off. That the money is not just sitting in one location within certain states, or opportunities are not limited, they need to be opened up across the board.
Exactly. Well, guys, this has been a great episode, and I think a really important topic. You know, obviously, you know, diversity is something that we're talking about every day in our offices, in our homes, across the country. And I appreciate you both sharing, you know, the insight you know, all of the great things that you guys are working on. And yeah, it's been great to have you both together. Kind of a little reunion for you both as well.
Thank you so much, Jeff. This has been a great conversation. I'm excited to see the finished product, and I love what you guys are doing. And we're looking forward to continued conversations.
This was fun.
Thanks again.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.